Today on Parts Per Billion, we're taking glimmers of hope and we're dashing the crap out of them. We're talking about carbon capture technology, why a lot of people think it's our best bet for solving climate change, and why they're probably wrong. Hello, and welcome back yet again to Parts Per Billion, the environmental podcast from Bloomberg Law. I'm David Schultz. So climate change is, let's face it, just really, really depressing. It's the kind of topic that really lends itself well to hopelessness and despair. And I think that's why a lot of people, myself very much included, like to talk about carbon capture technology. It feels hopeful to consider the possibility of sucking greenhouse gases out of the air and reversing, not just stopping, but reversing the damage that we've already done to the planet. And you know who else is a fan of carbon capture? The United States Congress. Tucked deep into the most recent COVID relief bill that the president signed last month was $447 million for the Energy Department to do research into carbon capture technology. Bloomberg Law's Bobby McGill wrote about this funding provision in the bill, and he says a lot of climate scientists and climate activists actually aren't too excited about it. I spoke with him about where this money is actually going to be spent, and also about what carbon capture actually is.
Carbon capture often, to a lot of folks, means that, you know, it's something that you, it's a method of containing the emissions from coal-fired power plants and oil and gas operations. But that's not really what this is about. Carbon dioxide removal means removing CO2 from the atmosphere as a way to mitigate climate change.
Yeah, I mean, this is like futuristic stuff. And as you mentioned, you know, the reason why we're talking is because the latest stimulus bill had a provision tucked deep inside it that gave $500 million to the Energy Department to research this. What's the Energy Department going to be spending this money on?
Well, it's going to be spending this money on a task force. It's going to be spending this money on, you know, basically trying to figure out how much CO2 needs to be removed from the atmosphere. Thing is, though, that scientists already have a pretty good idea of how much CO2 may need to be removed from the atmosphere. So it's unclear as to what this task force is actually going to accomplish in the next few years. But it is it's $500 million. It's quite a bit of money for research, but it's also not necessarily going to remove any CO2 from the atmosphere.
Well, it's interesting you put it that way because, you know, yes, I mean, $500 million is $500 million. It's nothing to sneeze at. But in terms of the federal budget, like, it's not really not that much. I mean, but you said this is like one of the biggest outlays of federal money toward carbon capture research, right? Like ever. I mean, is that true?
Right. I mean, here's the thing. The reason this is so controversial is that there is bipartisan support for this. There are, you know, plenty of Democrats and Republicans are interested in this, in part as a climate mitigation strategy. But it's controversial because it's not entirely agreed on that it's necessary. That's because none of this means anything unless you stop emitting carbon dioxide in the first place. And so, you know, some of the scientists I talked to were like, well, removing CO2, that sounds good. But you've got to prioritize the thing that a lot of folks don't want to do right now in any sort of serious way, which is to stop burning oil.
Well, let's really get into that because, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about this. And one of the reasons why I like talking about carbon capture is because, to me at least, it feels like one of the few climate change stories that is optimistic, that, you know, it's sort of offers hope that maybe we can not just stop the damage to the planet, but reverse it. But, you know, it sounds like based on everything you're saying and everything that was in your story, it's really not the case.
Well, here's the thing. Carbon dioxide removal was a little bit of the elephant in the room of the Paris Climate Agreement because the science that's behind the Paris Climate Agreement suggests that if CO2 concentrations of the atmosphere reach a certain point by mid-century, we're going to need to begin removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere on a mass scale. And the problem with that is that there's no, the technology for this has never really been proven to work at a mass scale. And you would have to potentially, to meet the most ambitious goal of the Paris Climate Agreement, you would have to potentially remove decades of carbon dioxide pollution from the atmosphere. It's not known if that's even possible. And whether it's possible or not, it won't make a bit of difference unless you stop emitting carbon dioxide in the first place. One of the other reasons that this is controversial is that, you know, a lot of there are plenty of scientists who say that, you know, despite the fact that this may be necessary at some point, a lot of carbon capture proponents could see this as a way to continue to use oil and gas and coal. If you know that you can emit and then or you can burn this for electricity and energy, and you can store the emissions and prevent it from getting into the atmosphere, it could breathe new life into the fossil fuel industry.
Right. And that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something I wanted to get into, which is that, you know, this made its way, this $500 million made its way into the stimulus bill, which means it has bipartisan support. You know, who are the legislators that are backing this? I get the sense that, you know, there are a lot of Republican lawmakers who are very pro-fossil fuels who are into this.
Right. So you've got Lisa Murkowski, for one thing. She from Alaska, Republican. You know, she is one of the most vocal proponents of oil and gas development on the North Slope of Alaska. On the other side of the aisle, you've got folks like Sheldon Whitehouse, who are climate hawks and you know, want to aggressively cut emissions. And you know, this is something. It's kind of like nuclear power. You get folks on both sides of the aisle supporting it as a climate measure. But, you know, there's also incentives in there for industry.
Yeah, I mean, there are not a lot of, and I know John Barrasso, who was the outgoing head of the Senate Environment Committee, Senator, a Republican senator from Wyoming, very, very pro fossil fuel industry, also is a big fan of carbon capture. So not a lot of things that Murkowski, Barrasso, and Whitehouse agree on. This is one of them. I mean, finally, do you see more money going toward this in the future? I mean, it's tough to say. We have a new president, a new Congress coming in. But it seems like if we can get bipartisan support for this, for, you know, $500 million, this could be going somewhere. We could get more money in the future. Is that possible?
I would assume so. I mean, there's no indication. I mean, given that, you know, the $447 million is, it may not seem like a lot of money in terms of the federal budget, but it is a substantial amount of money. And ultimately, it comes down to this. It's not proven that this is needed. It's also not proven that it's not needed. And, you know, climate change is such an all hands on deck situation it seems so unlikely that we're going to, you know, cut emissions to the degree that's necessary within the time frame that's required to, you know, meet 2 degrees. You know, it's going to be likely that this research is critical, and a lot of people are researching this, and there was a sort of a roadmap for, you know, research on carbon dioxide removal that came out from the National Academy of Sciences 2 years ago, and it sort of paves the way for this kind of research. And, you know, there are some pretty significant voices in the climate community are calling for this. And so, you know, if it turns out it is necessary, theoretically the countries need to have a plan for how to deploy this kind of technology. And there are many different, very complicated technologies. But, you know, climate change is kind of an all hands on deck situation. This certainly would seem to be a part of that. And I would imagine that the Biden administration would want to continue to support it.
That was Bloomberg Law reporter Bobby McGill speaking about carbon capture technology. And that's it for today's episode of Parts Per Billion. If you want more environmental news, check us out on Twitter. We use the handle @environment. Just that, environment, nothing else. I'm at David B. Schultz on Twitter. If you want to discuss anything with me, I'll take all comers. Today's episode of Parts Per Billion was produced by myself and Josh Block. Special assistance on this episode came from Anna Yukananov. Parts Per Billion was created by Jessica Coombs and Rachel Daigle. The music for today's episode is A Message by Jassar and Nightwalk by Paolo County and Benoit Midrakowski. They were used under a Creative Commons license. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
This is Adam Allington, and I'm here to announce a new season of Uncommon Law, a narrative podcast series from Bloomberg Law. My co-hosts and I will speak with African-American attorneys and hear their perspectives on how big law is, or in some cases isn't, adapting to become more diverse and inclusive.
It's not fair, but what can be better than being on the front lines of helping to make this country better for all of us? If not us, who? If not now, when?
Just search for Uncommon Law wherever you get your podcasts.